Hello there. My name is Mabi Betonico. I wrote a text that I'll be reading since the last few days, and I gave it a title, Narrating Research. These are days of much information coming from different parts of the world about the pandemia, and it's panicking and worrying. Now, at the time of confinement, moments alternate with waves of fear and courage, of despair, and much, much questioning about the relevance of working and the reason of producing as an artist and also as a professor. Called to go on as normal with online work and online conferences and juries, solving the physical distance, I wonder whether we should go on these days as if this is an interval, an interruption before everything comes back to normal. I'm reluctant to try to solve the moment by just carrying on, continuing to do things as usual. Thoughts can be paralyzing at these times, and we keep ourselves busy all time. Book lists, film lists, museum collections that come online, cooking courses, all courses, 24-hour news. In all, we trust and praise our connectedness and access. Access to information seems vital now, a sense of certainty over the situation that is arriving at unimaginable speed and proportion. In this frame, I wondered how to contribute to this meeting proposed by Le Peuple qui manque. How do I want to approach you, and what is relevant at this moment? At this moment, the key issue is how we can now imagine and exercise ways of living differently. We should stop all and dedicate to trying and thinking. During these days, we are exposing more of us online and big data multiplied. We are all connected and we thrive for information more than ever. And we are seeing already how governments are taking this as an opportunity for yet more control. Mapping citizens' movements in Israel in order to control the virus is an implementation of a system that is here to stay. Spain is using drones to make people return home to confinement. In China, when schools go back after the virus crisis, cameras have been installed that will now, from now on, map interest or distraction, the reactions of students in class for race recognition and analysis in order to assess behavior and productivity. School tests are no longer necessary if your body behaves in a certain way throughout the school years, read by a computer. And as we continue to upload, download, communicate, and now teach, what are we facilitating? While we are solving an immediate academic need or a wish to be together in isolation, we are consolidating a system of invigilance. One that goes opposite to the needed recuperation of biodiversity and the ecosystem. One that searches for a sustainable planet. Important to remember we still face destruction beyond the virus, and its spread might be a sign of the same problem. In 2015, a dam rupture killed the Brazilian Rio Doce, a river called Rio Doce. The river of 850 kilometers long was destroyed by a spread of contaminated mud into the sea. It's previewed a need of at least 100 years before it's clean. Its destruction is pointed as the cause of the outspread of Zika, an epidemic in Brazil in the years 2015 and 16 that caused damage to many lives. I'm currently working on a project in France called Effondrement des Alpes that derives from observing how the Alps are changing under climate overheating. Its apparent solidity is maintained by the permafrost, which is an ice that works as a glue of parts of rock. The melting of ice means the collapse of the mountains and with it the risk of infrastructure, enforcing a social and economic change along with the topographic and its culture. My position as foreigner from the tropics brings some key questions such as my position as artist researcher looking for a perspective from my own relation to the Alps, to the ice, to mountains. Almost 2 years on, I'm still reluctant if I need to walk on the glaciers in order to scale it, to live its importance, its forms, and understand its ecosystem. So far, I assume my position as observer, reader, foreigner, not willing to be tourist, another one to disturb and interfere. I consider it from across. I place it often in the back of my mind even. What is at stake is not a single geologic monument that actually sits in front of the art school in Annecy on the other side of the lake. I have been working on the following fronts: navigating theoretical fields problematizing climate change, attentive to titles, authors, research institutions and groups. Reading about collapsology and soon coming with my own questions around it after the initial shock of understanding. I have also been integrating daily debates from the media and observing how environmental discussion has been intensified in popular printed vehicles. Since the research started, both Le Monde and The Guardian, for example, have given more and more space to climate issues. I'm also attentive to art shows and publications from the art field about art and environment. Exhibitions and individual productions with the Anthropocene as key debate are appearing all over, with overwhelming parallel production, such as catalogues, journals, conferences. I engage by participating or observing youth for climate manifestations, wish to document and work together towards form of visibility for their words. So far, I have gone to a couple of manifestations and photographed, and I participated on a day of conferences they organized, experiencing their efforts as much as their inability to articulate, to dedicate, to motivate. Approximating also to the history of the mountain culture in alpine collections and archives, I try to actualize forgotten narratives, gestures, images, how the legacy of the past can be active to imagine the future of the mountains. Another main activity includes experimenting along with the school, performing the research project which reaches out for collective actions. The project is not made for researchers as such, whatever that means, like a specific team, but for an art school community at large. In other words, the research team becomes an entire school. Only this aspect of the project gives much to reflect upon. It's successful while trying to contaminate all of the different activities going on. It is difficult for its constant changing dynamic, as everyone is tackling, learning, experimenting to connect and respond to the issue. This is both the richness of the project and a challenge to convey. During over 1 year, we were fed by seminar days involving most of the school, with guest theoreticians and artists and school members contributing, also as students. Some of my first responses to the enormous amount of information and actions proposed by the school have been to do short videos. For example, a 3-minute essay with clouds, produced after understanding how clouds have an important role in the changing climate, and how they might become an element of control for geoengineers. Some geoengineers seem to believe clouds are a key element to be mastered, what others consider a complete disastrous project with an uncontrollable thing that could lead to the impossibility of life on Earth. In this video, a series of photos of clouds are projected on a paper being held by a person. Each time the photo changes, another person abruptly pushes the paper held by the other's hands and crumples the paper fast and out of the screen. The pushing of the paper causes a noise augmented by its crumpling, while another new sheet is taken by the first person, where a new image becomes visible. The fast gesture sounds like a thunder between the scenes of cloudy skies. The act is a dispute or battle between one allowing to see and the other destroying the projection. A soundtrack brings a ruptured reading about cloud control taken from an essay by Naomi Klein. From another video somehow related, I recorded a cutting of the smoke coming out of mountains from a book about volcanoes. The smoke of each photo becomes a hole in the page. I hold the mass of dust cut out, a defined shape of paper now detached from the book. But all this is played in reverse, and it becomes a book being restored and mountains being completed with their smokes in place. The gesture seems healing the page, somehow ordering, reallowing the reading of the ruptured photograph. There is a reconstitution of things that are put back in place. The mountains are allowed to spill out. I often do research with scissors. Cutting may take out to understanding. By reorganizing and selecting, I try to achieve synthesis. One of the gestures I adopt for this research is collecting newspaper articles and images related to the collapse. I just realized that in the English word for effondrement, there is colle. Colle is glue in French. Collapse. And colle is in the word collection. Collection is a sum of gluing, which needs one and another to operate. It's opposite to separation. Separation is implied in selection, which also allows bringing together similar contents that will form new groups. But going back to research with scissors, I wish this was more violent somehow in my practice, more savage, but so far I keep it as a constructive tool as I search for keeping certain contents, not to destroy contents as such. Another work involved the construction of a marionette, a deformed female figure that tries to come to terms with the transformation of Earth's system in the Anthropocene. Her own understandings are both serious or affirmative and doubtful as she poses various questions. She says, "Look at the way we produce monstrous amount of trash, debris, and dross, oddments and dregs, weaved together with junk and droppings. We are the beast that is never full." Betty Bloomsfield, which is the name of the character, Marionette, tries to come to terms with what she understands of geologic and environmental transformations. She refers to a sort of disfiguration, present also in her own features, recognizing displacement and discomfort with issues. Her disfiguration mirrors her somewhat disjointed sentences, she says. "It's difficult to visualize that we are all rooted in a common clay. Isn't it strange? Bound together with minerals, animals, and botanic beings. What sort of cotton is in our eyes?" My question is how to remove this cotton from our eyes, as she questions. How can we change how we are leading the world, how we are leading our lives? What imagination do we need to recuperate or to invent another life dynamic? In Amerindian tradition or culture, the world around us are looking at us all the time. Things have a humanity in them. They are only dressed differently. This is not a human-centered thought, as we may think. In the contrary, it puts animals, plants, the water, elements, minerals in equal terms with humans. All around is respected and celebrated and feared. How can we establish attachment or some sort of respectful relation to the world, the complexity of the living planet Earth? Minerals are main elements of my work, as I have been dealing with the history of Brazil tied to mineral extraction. Some of the issues I work with are the economic, social, political, and environmental consequences of the mineral industry. I now decide to step closer to stones as such by laying a territory in which a speculative, imaginative voice might take place. In Western cultures, stones and rocks are usually seen as inanimate or lifeless, static, although potentially emanating particular energies, permanent and endlessly available, long-lasting or eternal, complex and beautiful, but especially useful, economically interesting and viable. Read as signs of fertility and prosperity, linked to power as much as poverty, to human development and misery, stones and rocks are taken as extractable elements at large and available simply for use. Dispersed as dust, fragmented as pebbles, united, solidified, pressed, compacted, and overlapped as relief, dug, excavated, or piled up in multiple mineral combinations, definitions, chemistry, aspects, properties, how can we speak, really, of the not-so-secret life of stones? I'm developing an editorial house, the Stone Statement Editions. It departs from the interrogation of how to see stones and rocks as components of Earth's life, belonging to an overall living system, belongs to human body despite the fact that they may seem lifeless and extractable. Stone Statements Editions will launch its book series by announcing a few titles. These volumes are all imagined, wished for, or suggested to be developed, carrying questions to be further elaborated and debated about humans' relationships to stones. They are book covers, posters, manifests. The dynamic resumes by proposing titles that will be developed collectively, from calls to participation, or also developed by invitation. Guest writers. This work is elaborated while we live the pandemia, and somehow it seems secondary to dedicate to anything other than the crisis. Following the news, being present at home, which means engaging with those with whom we share the living space, while contacting others with whom we worry, who need help, or those to share critical ideas of the international and local politics of dealing with the virus. All this seems to be priority at the moment. And that's not little. A discussion that often comes up is linked to long-distance teaching. It's detached the form. I chose not to bring images, my own work, visible, as to distance from the video conference format as substitutive of the real life. I'm also concerned with the overload of traffic to continue academic activities and distribute information. For my part, while trying to understand this present, I feel dragged by worries on how European Union will survive this moment and when finally it will incorporate the immigrants locked in concentration camps. In which direction politics will change from these months, while we'll be even more controlled. If and how the world health system might change afterwards, and if education will ever be the same, hoping from one end, yes, and from other reasons, no. I also worry how the south of the globe will face this virus, which is just beginning at the moment we are speaking, since the last few days. I hope you are able to finally fight with more focus for a sustainable, healthy planet, changing the economic system, definitely rupturing from productivist racist depletion of Earth. I'm not sure how articulating differently about minerals may add to this future. How long time and what it takes to change? It needs images able to distance from the economic potential of all things, including, for example, dust and its more tangible solid state as stones. Thank you all for your attention and to be continue this exchange live, I hope, in the future.